We must be corrected by the Scriptures. That's where our righteousness comes from. Now, all of these things that I've laid out for you, I've been using a word here, plainly. And that is, if we're going to believe something, the Bible must make it plain, very simple, non-ambiguous. It must say exactly what it wants to say, and then we are required.
I have two books at my bedside, Lieutenant. The Marine Corps Code of Conduct and the King James Bible.
I hate snake shock! I hate him!
And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
Titled, you want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby-Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
Yee-haw! Coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is the talk show Hell Hates. The more you listen, the more you know why. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I'm live with you today, backed from the hills, the Ozark Hills of Northwest Arkansas, Wilderness Point Bible Camp. 2017 is in the history books. And what a great week it was. The weather was absolutely spot on. There was, you know, maybe a little bit of warmth one or two days. If you were out in the sun, I preferred to stay in the shade as I was reading my books and so on. And I did. I took some things with me to read down there that last week, and that's what I did. I got a lot of reading done. I didn't get it done, but I accomplished a lot of reading last week. But the weather was great. The environment was, and when I say environment, I'm talking about the overall spirit of everybody there was just amazing. The workers, the adults, the young people, everybody getting along, everybody having a good time. The preaching was good, all right out of the King James, and not just, you know, one verse at the beginning and 50 minutes of listen to me, here's what I got to say. I mean, it was right from the Scripture, and I commended the preacher for that. And but it was just a fantastic week. I got some rest and ready to get back on my feet, and good to be with you today. We're going to pick up where we left. Well, we're going to back up just a little bit from where we left off before I went to Bible camp. We were talking about A Tale of Two Cities. We're doing a study in the book of Proverbs and trying to gain some understanding on what that means. Now, I have been reading some of the things that I was reading last week and something I spent a lot of time yesterday studying was this idea of what is Shekinah? Or let me say it this way. Who is Shekinah? Who is that? It's not, if you believe that the Shekinah glory is the glory cloud that filled the tabernacle, that filled the temple in Solomon's day, and you hear people talking about, oh, let's bring the Shekinah glory down. Oh, praise God, we're going to have the Shekinah glory come down here. Bless God, the Shekinah glory. If you believe that that's what Shekinah is. I ask you a question. Where did you get that from? Where did it come from? Well, it's in the Bible, right there. Right there, Shekinah glory. It's in the Bible. Where? Where is it? It's not in there. And I did some research yesterday. I wanted to find out where this the word Shekinah, how it got injected into quote-unquote Christian thought. Because, I mean, I've heard good preachers use this term. I've heard people in churches talking about the Shekinah glory. First time I heard it was in Oklahoma when I was going to Bible college back in 1984 is when I heard that. Back in the old days. I heard it on Christian radio out there. Of course, it was Christian radio in Oklahoma. It's pretty much run by the charismatic movement, all right? So there was a lot of charismatic radio on, and I heard the Shekinah glory. And I wanted to know where or how that term got injected into the thought and the speech of Christianity. I wanted to know, and I went Google book searching yesterday, trying to find old books that used the term Shekinah. Now, if you've never done anything like this, it's a really, really neat thing. Google has scanned all of these university libraries, and they have books that in some cases date back to the 1700s from these university libraries. One of them, I think the University of Michigan was one of their big repositories. I don't know how long they must have, I don't know how big their library is, but it must be huge. But you find a lot of these old theology textbooks. You find a lot of old Bible encyclopedias. You find a lot of old books written by clergymen from the 1800s, both British and American clergymen. Some of them pretty good. Some of them not so good. But I found evidence that the term Shekinah was being used by Christian clergymen as far back as the early to mid 1800s, because it shows up in some old Bible dictionaries, Bible encyclopedias. There's some other things I made, you know, of course I make notes. And I get my sources straight. That way, if I say something, I have the source. You can go look this up. But go to books.google.com and type in the word Shekinah. You can do a search. You can do a Google search that's limited to what's in books. And if these books are beyond a certain date, then you can actually download the PDF. And we're talking books from the 1800s. You can actually download a copy of them as a PDF or an EPUB or a MOBI, whether you use Kindle or you use iOS to read your books or whatever. And I have found that electronic books don't weigh anything. Okay? And I'm talking about these huge volumes of encyclopedias. They don't weigh anything. I don't understand that, how all these words and pages can be and they don't weigh anything. But anyway, that's what I did. And I found that there were some Christian or let's say Bible encyclopedias that were written in the 1800s where the word Shekinah was listed as an article in these encyclopedias. And they were talking about how these... it was the Jewish representation of the presence of God is what they would say in there. these encyclopedias would say the Shekinah is the Jewish representation of the presence of God. And they would admit that the word itself is not found in the Hebrew text of the Old Testament, but it was based upon the Hebrew word shakan, shakan, which means presence or dwelling or something like that. Like, you know, he's here, shakan. But shakan, that particular word is a masculine noun or a masculine word. Hebrew is one of the languages that has gender in its words. Greek is another. Spanish is one. English, not so much. In other words, when we use a noun like the word car, it has no gender to it. Okay, it's not boy car and girl car. It's just car. But Hebrew has this gender built into it, and the word shakan, which is used in the Old Testament, is a masculine noun. God's presence, God is masculine. The Bible, I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. But Shekinah is female, feminine. And for some reason, the encyclopedias and the dictionaries and the theology books that I was looking at left that tiny little piece of information out. So what I found out was that the word Shekinah, the feminine word, since it's not in the Hebrew text of the Old Testament, it doesn't show up until the Jewish rabbis started writing a commentary on the Old Testament. Because if you're going to understand God, by cracky, you're going to understand it our way. If you're going to understand the Bible, you're going to understand it the Jewish rabbi way and no other way. So they felt the need to write a commentary on the Old Testament, and they called it the Targum. Targum. And the Targum is where the word Shekinah first showed up. Now, here's why. The Jews had a huge problem. And remember, this is what Jesus was getting at. This is what Paul was saying about the Jews. Those of you who might be inclined to be listening to this member of your family who is trying to tell you that the only way to understand God is through the Hebrew way, and the only way to understand the real Messiah is the Jewish way, the way the Jews understood the Messiah. Let me help you with something here. The Jews understood the Messiah so well that they killed him, hung him on a cross, because all of the prophecies concerning Christ, they missed every one of them, including the one where he's like quoting from the Bible. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? They're going, what's he saying? Something about Elijah or something like that. They didn't get one of them right. And so Paul said that the Jews' blindness in part is happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And apparently us Gentiles, apparently we're not full enough yet. So keep eating, you Gentiles, until we get full. Then the Jews will have their sight restored. Paul said that every time the Jews read the Old Testament, there is a veil over it, and they can't understand. They can't make it out. They can't figure. They don't know who God is. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know the Holy Spirit. And so the Jews had this concept of that since God is omnipresent and everywhere, that any place in the Old Testament where the Bible refers to God as being in a particular place, well, obviously that can't be God. I mean, obviously it can't be, because God's everywhere. And so they did something funny with the Bible. This is why they felt like they needed to write a commentary. Because if you're going to understand it, you're going to understand it our way and no other way. You can't. It's the same idea the Roman Catholic Church and everybody else telling you, you can't read the Bible and understand it, you puny humans, you. Whereas people like me, I tell you, read that Bible. Read it and understand it. Read it twice. Understand it twice. Read it four times. Understand it four times is good. But the Jews, they didn't get it. They didn't understand how God could be in one particular place when God's supposed to be everywhere all at once. So instead of thinking, well, let's see, maybe God is, maybe the Holy Spirit is being referenced here, or maybe the Son of God is being referenced here. Instead of that, instead of getting it right, the Jews decided to borrow a concept from Babylon. Babylon, the city. Babylon, the spirit. Because they're the same. See, Babylon as a city and Babylon as a spirit, you can't separate the two. And Babylon is the spirit that is keeping Israel blinded right now. Because the Jews decided that since God is everywhere and he can't be just in one place, like on a throne. Are you getting this? They said, God's everywhere. And yet here it says, you know, God is on his throne. Well, that can't be God. It must be a representation or a representative of God. Are you catching where I'm going here? When it says that, you know, that the Lord God spoke to Moses saying, well, you know, from Mount Sinai. Well, that couldn't have been God. God's not on Mount Sinai. God's everywhere. So it wasn't God that spoke to Moses. It wasn't God that sits on his throne. It isn't God that was present in the tabernacle in the pillar of cloud. That wasn't God. That was his representative. And according to the Targums, the representative of God was Shekinah. And the Hebrew writers of the Targums knew that they were writing a feminine noun version of the word shekan. They knew it. They were deliberate in it because they got this concept from Babylon, the spirit, Babylon, the city. They call her Shekinah. The Greek's version of her is Sophia. And whether it's Shekinah or Sophia or Ashtaroth or Isis, Ishtar, or it's Diana in the book of Acts, or it's Mystery, the mistress of witchcrafts, the mother of harlots, Mystery Babylon, doesn't matter. This is all the same female harlot spirit. She pretends to be full of light, but she's not. She's full of darkness. Incidentally, hell is a place of outer darkness where there's a lot of, you know, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is the place of darkness. Hell hath enlarged herself. The King James Bible nails it. I mean, it gets it right. Hell hath enlarged herself. You know, I am curious, now that I've said that, I'm curious as to what the NIV says. You know what? I got one right here. I wonder how old it is. In case you didn't know, the NIV that's out now, the current updated version of the NIV, and I'm trying to type and talk at the same time, and I don't know if you understand how difficult that is. Hell hath enlarged. There you go. See, it doesn't. You can't. You know, Isaiah 5:14. I'm curious as to see what the NIV that's current today is actually today's NIV, the TNIV, which was and is the gender neutral Bible, the neutered Bible. They don't like to call God by any masculine names. They don't refer to mankind. They refer to humankind or whatever. And so while they brag about how they're sticking with the Old Testament, the New Testament, Greek and Hebrew, the truth of it is they're changing it at will. Because some people get all offended. Because the Bible uses a masculine term, and that leaves poor women out. That's going to lead to people beating up on women. Because the Bible doesn't say her when it says God. Or the Bible leaves women out when it talks, when it refers to man, the inner man, the new man. Somebody's going to go and beat a woman up over that. And so let's change the Bible. So I'm just curious where the King James says, hell hath enlarged herself. That was Isaiah 5:14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. I'm going to look in the NIV at Isaiah 5. I'm going to look at that particular verse. Therefore, death expands its jaws. Here we go. Cue the music. Not only did they refuse to refer to hell as a female, they don't even call her hell. They refer to her as death. That's Jehovah's, hey, that's Jehovah's Witness doctrine, everybody. I'm blowing the trumpet here. You blow the trumpet with me. The NIV is teaching Jehovah's Witness doctrine. You go there, Isaac, go to blueletterbible.org, change the translation over to the NIV, go to Isaiah chapter, I'll put it up on the screen. That would be easier for you, wouldn't it? Yeah. Me do all the work. Isaiah 5:14. Therefore, death expands its jaws. Whereas the King James gets it right. Hell hath enlarged herself. Come on. Unreal. They're hiding something, people. I'm telling you. They're hiding it. Covering it up. They don't like it. What spirit is it? What spirit is it that keeps people in darkness? It's the spirit from the land that is outer darkness itself, and that is hell. Shekinah is not the, and I want you to understand this. Again, in the Targums, where any place in the, which was a commentary and a paraphrase of the Old Testament, they just rewrote the Old Testament by paraphrasing it. In any place where God was to be limited to a certain location, they took that out and they replaced God with the female spirit, Shekinah, which is Diana, which is Sophia, which is Ashtaroth, which is Isis, which is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. 13 words there. There's that number again. Let's cue some music on that one. And it's the spirit that comes right out of hell herself. Shekinah, and I'm working on this. I may do this during the Bethel Homecoming. Bethel Homecoming, August. Let me pull up my calendar here. August 11, 12, and 13. If you have not bought your plane ticket, do so now. If you've not booked a hotel room, do so now. Hotels are going to become scarce in the month of August, because August 21st is the full-fledged solar eclipse. Is it solar eclipse? Yeah, solar eclipse. The moon is going to block out the entire, and believe it or not, the center line of where it's going to be, where it's going to impact the most, runs right through Festus, Missouri. I'm not kidding you. All of the hotels, if you plan on coming here the weekend of August 21st, you'll not find a hotel room in Festus, Missouri, because they're all booked up. People are going to be coming from all over the place to view, because here in Festus, it's going to be pitch black dark for about 2 minutes and 30 seconds total time. Okay, I guarantee you I'm going to have my camera out recording this, okay? Because, I mean, I like stuff like this. To me, it's neat. But anyway, Bethel Homecoming, which is before that, the 11th, 12th, 13th. Book your flights, put gas in your car, get you a hotel room, get you an RV, bring it on down here for the Bethel Homecoming. I may talk about this during homecoming. I'm still working and praying about what to talk about, but I think this is going to be a part of it. But talking about that harlot spirit and just how much influence she now has in this world, in churches, in people's lives, the way people think. I mean, truly, every time you hear someone talking about, oh, the Shekinah glory, we're going to have the Shekinah glory come down here, they're referencing a female spirit. Now, are they doing so knowingly? No, hopefully not. Hopefully, they wouldn't know that Shekinah is Mystery Babylon and say, yeah, I like Shekinah. Yeah, we want her spirit in our church all the time. Hopefully, they would not know that and say it. It's just done out of ignorance. But isn't that what her spirit is all about anyway? Man's ignorance. Willful ignorance is the worst. Where you're ignorant, you don't know anything, and you don't want to know anything. Burying your head in the sand, hiding under the covers so you can't see, closing your eyes to things around you. This is all that female spirit, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, I mentioned a while ago, the Greek version of that is Sophia. And that is the term that the Gnostics gave to their form of quote-unquote wisdom. You see, the word Sophia is the Greek feminine word for wisdom. But there is a masculine version. It's called Sophos. All right? Which means wise. Sophia is the female version of it. And the Gnostics, who destroyed the gospel, they had a different gospel, a different Jesus. Therefore, it's a different spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit of God. It's Sophia, which is the spirit that guides those who are of a Gnostic persuasion, or anybody who has another Jesus or another gospel. The spirit that drives them, or the spirit that controls them, is Sophia. And there is a if you read or watch the movie. If you read the book, you got a better understanding of it. And I'm talking about the Da Vinci Code. That's what first put me onto this thing about Shekinah. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in an airport, waiting on an airplane, reading the Da Vinci Code when I first read what Shekinah really was. Dan Brown nailed it. And Shekinah was the female consort of God. You know what I'm going to do? Hang on a second. I'm going to add something. I'm going to show you a picture here. I'm going to add something to my PowerPoint that I'm fixing to show you here in a little bit. Some of you may have seen this. Some of you may have not. So just give me a few minutes. Hang on here. I'm going to type in the right words. Google image search. Ah, here we go. Here we go. Let me find it here. Going to do that. Copy the image. Put it in here. Make it nice and big for you. I got to crop it a little bit. So we're going to crop it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to like this. You're going to like this. You may not have ever seen anything like this. Let me do it this way here. There we go. When Michelangelo was hired to paint the bathroom of the Sistine Chapel. Okay? They gave him a gallon of paint, and he was just supposed to paint the bathroom, and that was it. Okay? But he decided he had to get jiggy with it. So he's going to paint the whole church, right? And they're just like, they can't get him out of there. Will you hurry up? We gave you a gallon of paint, told you to paint the bathrooms. I don't know who said you could paint the whole church. And when we meant paint, we only meant one color, and we don't know what you're doing here. It's like he turned this little oddball side job, painting a bathroom, going to be paid $50. Now all of a sudden he's raking in thousands of dollars every week because he's painting a whole church, all right? So he paints this image of God giving life to Adam. Now, anybody who's ever read a Bible knows that God doesn't blow air out of his finger. That was a joke, okay? God doesn't blow air out of his finger. Because the Bible says that when God gave Adam life, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, Michelangelo, being a Roman Catholic, may not have known that part of it. Because, you know, the Catholic Church, they're not very comfortable with people reading the Bible. So then somebody may have said, hey, Michael, make us a big picture of God giving life to Adam. So he's like, sure, okay. So he probably just dreamed up. I don't know why he's got the little finger thing going there with Adam, but that's how he did it. But that's not according to the Bible. You may have seen this picture dozens of times. You may have visited the Vatican, looked up in the Sistine Chapel and seen it. I've looked at this I don't know how many times before I saw something here that I never saw before. Most of the interest is in God's finger touching Adam's finger, because Adam just looks like he needs to be brought to life. And Adam, while you're at it, could you please put on a pair of pants, for crying out loud? So God's got his right hand out, giving Adam life. What about his left hand? His left hand is around a red-headed woman who doesn't have a shirt on. She's not one of the little naked baby angels. She's not one of them. She's different. This is Shekinah. You're looking at Shekinah. You're looking at Sophia. You're looking at Ashtaroth. You're looking at Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. You're looking at God's consort, God's girlfriend, God's harlot, God's concubine. That's what you're looking at. You may have never seen that before. But there it is, plain as day. God's got his arm around his female counterpart. Dun, dun, dun! Now, let me show you where this is going. Let me show you where I'm going with this. This article came out a few weeks ago. Meet Sophia. Cue the music. The human-like robot that wants to be your friend and destroy humans. Now, you look this article up. I don't think I have it posted on the facebook.com/PastorMikeOnline page. But look this article up. Artificial intelligence. And I want you to grasp this. We are, every day that goes by, our world and our civilization is leaning more heavily on artificial intelligent systems. More so than we did yesterday. More so than ever. Isn't it interesting? We've seen all these science fiction movies where the people talk to the computers, right? Isn't it interesting that Cortana, Siri, I don't know the Google version of it. Cortana is Windows, Siri is Apple. There's a Google version, and there is an Amazon version, and all of those artificial intelligent devices that we speak to are all female voices by default. Now, they may have where you can go in and change the settings and you want to talk to a man, then you get a man's voice. Excuse me. But by default, they're all female voices. Just you go look this. In fact, get your iPhone out and say, "Hello, Siri." And Siri's voice comes out. It's a woman's voice. And we are leaning more and more on artificial intelligence every single day. Most things that we do now. And I was listening. What was it? Something on the news this morning caught my attention very quickly. They were talking about, it was Google. Google has announced that it no longer is going to read your emails, if you believe that, that it's no longer going to read your emails and use the information in your emails for advertisement purposes. And some of you are going, hold on a second. You mean Google's reading our emails? Well, of course. You agreed to that. Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah, you did. If you use Gmail, you clicked, I agreed to the terms. If you didn't read the terms, too bad for you. But the terms of service for Google's Gmail is that Google gets to read your emails. Now, here's the thing. If you're worried that some Doogie Howser in a cubicle in California somewhere working for Google is reading your emails and, you know, cotton again, a little excited about reading your emails because he works for Google. If that's what you're worried about, I can tell you, common sense tells you, I wouldn't worry about that if I were you. I mean, how many emails do you think go through Google's servers every minute? How many? 1,000? 100,000? 500,000? Go through Google servers every single minute. I don't have the number, but I guarantee you it is a lot more than the people who actually work for Google. So worried that some kid or some guy from India with hair sticking out of his ears is going to read your emails, I wouldn't worry about it. What I would worry about is the artificial intelligence system that's reading your emails. By the way, I think Google is still going to read your emails. I just don't think they're going to use the information in it for advertisement purposes. But there's no way in the world that a company like Google is going to just not bother with the data that's contained in emails. The NSA is going to read your emails. Their servers pick up on probably every scrap of information that passes through the internet. 99.99% of this information never sees a monitor or never shows up on a monitor in somebody's cubicle at the NSA. It's read by a computer, analyzed by a computer, and stored by a computer, and can be drawn back by a computer if necessary. But you're probably better off being struck by lightning 5 times in the same day than for someone to actually read all of your data at either Google's server farm or the NSA or British Special Forces or the Mossad or whoever. We're turning our lives over to her, to Sophia, the brain of the internet, the brain of the World Wide Web, the collective brain of every computer everywhere on the planet. We're turning our lives over. She's looking at all of our pictures. She's reading all of our Facebook posts. She's reading our emails, our text messages, listening to our phone calls. She knows where we've been. She knows where we slept. She knows where we spent money. She knows why we spent the money. She knows what we had for supper. She knows all of these things. And I'm referring to artificial intelligence. And to me, when I saw this article, it just stuck out in my mind. Why did they name her Sophia? Why did they name this artificial intelligent system after the Gnostics' version of the Holy Spirit, which is a female harlot spirit? And again, since it's the Gnostics' spirit, it's another Jesus, it's another gospel, and it's not the Holy Spirit of God. It's a different spirit. It is mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, who holds a cup in her hand, and she has red hair. By the way, Michelangelo drew this woman with red hair. Why? Red is her color. She's clothed in scarlet. She is the scarlet harlot. Okay? And the cup that she holds in her hand is a cup of abominations. It is the wine of her fornication. It is the wine that comes from the vine of Sodom. And it is full of serpents' poison, the poison of dragons, the venom of asps, the cruel venom of asps, Deuteronomy 32 says. That's what's in that cup. And God uses her to bring about his will on this earth. God will use her to lie to people who only want to be lied to. There are some people who want to know the truth and some people who don't want to know the truth. And then there are some people who think they know the truth who don't know the truth because they don't want to know the truth. But if you really want to know the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. By the way, the truth, the truth, the one truth, is found in only one place in this world. That is in God's holy word from the pure vine of manuscripts, the vine of Christ. You remember the movie I, Robot? Isn't it interesting that the artificial intelligence system from that movie, what'd that come out, like 10 years ago, something like that? Seven years ago, somewhere around in there? The artificial intelligence system that controlled all of the robots in this movie, it was not a male system. It was a female named Vicky. And every time she showed up in this movie, she always showed up in this image, a hologram of like a cube. Now, something I'm just going to point out here is that a cube, based upon a square, in fact, I'll ask you this, how many sides does a cube have? Wrong if you said four. A cube does not have four sides. A cube has, get ready, cue the music, six. Ba-ba-ba. But every time she showed up in this movie, she always showed up with four faces, facing four directions. Dun-dun-da. Which is exactly like what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel chapter 10. He saw the four living creatures, the four beasts, the four cherubs, each with four faces, facing the four directions. The wheels, these cherubs had wheels within wheels. These cherubs were the chariot of God. Remember, the Bible says the chariot of God is 10,000, even thousands of angels. I just think it's neat that God rides a chariot. And it's a chariot. The chariot isn't pulled by angels. The chariot is angels. I just think that's cool. Okay? God's got the neatest hot rod in all of the universe, plus the heavens. God's got it, man. But you see, Vicky matches these four living creatures, these four cherubs, these four beasts in Ezekiel chapter 1. I think that she's a representation of not the first kingdom, not the second kingdom, not the third kingdom. You guessed it, the fourth kingdom. I think artificial intelligence systems represent the new spirit, bringing in the new gospel, bringing in the new or the false Jesus that Paul warned about. We're going to go back to the book of Proverbs, because we were looking at this contrast in the book of Proverbs. I'm just studying the book of Proverbs again. Wisdom, and I say again, several years ago, back in 2006, I was going through a really rough time as a pastor. I was going through a really rough time. Rough time in our church. And I was just, man, I tell you what, I was pretty pathetic. And usually during those times, God has my attention, and God wanted me, he wanted to show me things, wanted to help me out. So God spoke to my heart and said, Mike, read Proverbs. So I read Proverbs. Not all at once, took me a few days. I read Proverbs. And when I got done, I said, wow, that's good. Okay, now what? And God said, read it again. So I read it again. And God said, read it again. So I read it again. Now as I'm reading, I'm picking up on these two women that are in the book of Proverbs. One is wisdom. The virtuous woman, a pure woman, a good woman, a nice woman, a clean woman, a diligent woman. The other is a nasty woman, a strange woman, a drunken woman, a harlot woman. And I'm starting to understand things I never really understood before. And now as I'm reading it again, this has been 10, 11 years later, I'm understanding it a little bit better than I did even 10 years ago. Because I'm understanding, I think, these two women represent two cities. One is above, one is below. Wisdom is personified in the book of Proverbs as a woman. And as we kind of pick back up where we left off, as we get into this and think about this, I want you to think about maybe things that you've picked up on from the scripture. As you study different women in the Bible, you'll note that some women in the Bible are nice women. Some women in the Bible are mean women. You'll note that some women in the Bible are virtuous women. You'll note that some women in the Bible are harlot women, unclean, filthy women. You'll note that some women in the Bible worship the Lord. You'll see that other women in the Bible worship idols. Okay? Some women just give off a light. They have a light about them. Some women are nothing but pure evil and pure darkness. So you think of two cities, two nations, heaven, Jerusalem above, hell beneath. Heaven, Jerusalem above, is a city of light where there is no darkness at all. Hell beneath is a city or a land of outer darkness where there is no light. Heaven above is a city of order. It's a city of things that are structured. I mean, look at in Revelation. Look at the walls of the city. They're designed in a perfect square. Four walls, each wall having three gates. So the total is 12. That's the 12 tribes of Israel. It has 12 foundation stones, which are the 12 apostles. You have the Old and the New Testament there together in New Jerusalem. It's a city of order. It's all laid out in a perfect square. According to the book of Job, down in the pit, it's a place where there is no order. Think about it. It's chaos. It's, what's another synonym for, whatever. Yeah, another word for chaos. Tempestuous, maybe. Okay? So you kind of get now the gist of what all this is saying in Proverbs when it talks about the personification of wisdom and knowledge and understanding as a woman. Think of women as types of the church or churches. You have some churches that are good. You have some churches that are bad. You've got churches that you have women in the Bible that are good, women in the Bible that are bad. There's one in particular. There's a woman who in the, I can't remember which gospel it is, but there's a woman who says to Jesus, blessed are you, and then blessed are the paps which thou, from which you gave suck. In other words, blessed is your mother. What type of woman, what type of church honors and elevates Jesus' mother over Jesus? Think about that! Right? So that's where that's the gist of it. This is what God has been teaching me. God has been showing me. So let's pick it up. Just sort of, we're not going all the way back to the beginning, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 2, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Think of heaven. Where did the Bible come from? Came from heaven. Where did the Ten Commandments come from? Came from heaven. God wrote them, but the place that he wrote them from was up high, heaven. Think of the church. Think of this church, Bethel Church. This church doesn't put out, per se, Mike Hoggard's wisdom, Mike Hoggard's thinking, Mike Hoggard's expanse of knowledge. What we're known for is standing for the authorized 1611 King James Bible, which we believe to be the Word of God. In May, we did not have the Mike Hoggard is right on everything conference. In May, we had a Bible conference. Didn't matter if it was me, Brother Reg Kelly, Chris Pinto. They didn't get up and say, Mike Hoggard's right on everything. They said the Bible's right on everything. So think of a church. If a church is known for promoting the Word of God, the words of God, that church is wisdom. That church is her. All right? So my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as what? Silver. Now, let me make a connection for you here. Psalm 12. The words of the Lord are pure words as what? Silver. Tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I mean, think about the connection here. If thou seekest her as silver, and here we have the words of God equated to silver. Silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Isn't that cool? You're understanding that the Bible is her. Jerusalem, the knowledge and wisdom from above is her. A good church that teaches the Bible is her. The individual soul, the individual Christian, because remember, the soul, the human soul, is characterized in the Bible as a woman. I can't remember the verse right offhand, but there's two verses in the Bible that display that. The humans, you know, I got to look it up now that I said it. Let's see, where can we find it here? It's not hell hath enlarged herself. That's not it. Let's see here. Soul. It's the first word. Well, in case you don't know how to do this, we type in the word soul, type in the word her. Here it is. Psalm 34:2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. All right. That's just one of the places you'll find that. But anyway, the individual soul, the individual believer in Jesus Christ, their soul characterized as a woman. If you are that person and you are involved with people and they're coming to you for wisdom, they're coming to you for knowledge because they see you as somebody that has got it together. And you could say, well, listen, it's not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ in me and his words in me. Bingo, that's it. I mean, not to say that you play bingo, but anyway, you get the idea. People will come to you. People will seek you out. I've got a meeting. This is not a boast on my part. I got a meeting tomorrow with some people that specifically asked me to be at this meeting. Why? Because they saw in me a wisdom, a knowledge, an understanding of certain things. And again, it's not a boast because I didn't promote myself as, hi, I'm Mike and I have a lot of wisdom. How are you? That's not what I did. But they've asked me to come and be with them and speak to them and because they saw something in me, and what was in me was knowledge and understanding and wisdom from heaven, not from hell. They saw a stability, and I can't think of any other words. And these are all words that they said to me. And I was very humbled by that. I was very humbled by that. And I am glad to go and help some people out tomorrow that have asked me, can you come? I sure will. It's because wisdom from heaven, wisdom from God's word, wisdom through what God has taught me in my life. That's what they're seeking after. And folks, I'm telling you, if you will fill your life with the word of God, if you will fill your life with the knowledge and understanding that comes from heaven up high, people will seek you out. People will seek you out before they would ever look for silver and gold. They'll seek you out. Okay? See, all of this works together here. So anyway, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You know where treasures are? Treasures are in God's word. Okay? There's things in God's word you don't know that are there yet. But one of these days you're going to find them, or have already found some of them. And it's like when God showed you that, it's like you opened a chest and found $1 billion in there. Okay? I would say a million, but a million is not so much anymore. You've dug in your backyard, you're going to, bury the family goldfish that died, and you shovel hit on something, you found this big chest and you open it up, there's $1 billion of gold in there, and you get to keep it. Okay? So anyway, thou searchest for his for hid treasures. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, which is one of the spirits of God, and to find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He's talking about the Bible. The Bible is her wisdom from above. The words of God coming from heaven itself. Proverbs 2:10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. This is what they keep you from. The good she will keep you from the bad she, all right? To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. Crooked things, like people worshiping the serpent, which is crooked. I didn't explain this middle one the other day. I think I did a little bit. I remember talking about the square and the compass. Think about that for a minute. What kind of spirit is that? Even in, just to show you, I got to adjust my heating pad here. It just to show you how universal her spirit is. Here, Freemasonry, modern Freemasonry, couple of hundred years old, uses a square and a compass. And yet in ancient China has this version, this creation story, that a male god and a female goddess created the earth and created all the people in the earth by joining themselves together. They were these little serpent gods and goddesses that joined themselves together like yin and yang, like a square and a compass. You know, by the way, think of, you talk about opposites being united together. What does a compass draw? A circle. What does a square draw? Square. You ever try to put a square peg in a round hole? Doesn't work. You might be able to put a round peg in a square hole, but you're not going to fill up the hole. Doesn't work. They're not meant to be together. And yet the whole Chinese concept of how the earth and its people came about was this idea of a square and a compass, a circle and a square, male and a female, two serpents, heaven and earth joining together, making you and I on this earth. Crooked ways. People worshiping. Oh, I like this one. Right over here. On the, as you're looking at it, on the left, the base of a pyramid in Mexico has these dragons on it. I thought I had a picture of Chichen Itza, and I don't. But anyway, worshiping the dragon, worshiping the serpent. Remember in Revelation 13, they worship the dragon, which gave life unto the beast. In Kundalini, Kundalini and yoga. Listen to me, people. Yoga is serpent worship. Yoga, and think about it. I want you to, in your mind, I want you to picture someone doing yoga. Is that person a male or a female? More often than not, you pictured a woman doing yoga. It's not to say that men don't do yoga. Some of them do. But primarily, if you go to the YMCA during their yoga class, you're going to find who there? Women. That's because of the spirit that's behind it. It's a spirit that has crooked ways. Yoga. Think about it. Think about yoga. They say, oh, it's all about stretching. Boy, I'll say. Yoga and the moves and techniques of yoga are almost never, if never, a straight line. Are they? It's all about winding your body in all of these crooked paths. Think about it. That's because at the core of what yoga is, it teaches that there is a beast, a serpent, at the base of your spine. And that serpent wants to uncoil itself and make a crooked path up the 33 bones of your spinal column to activate your pineal gland. Now, if you know anything about human physiology, you know that humans do have a pineal gland. What does the pineal gland do when it's activated? It releases this hormone or this chemical that makes you go to sleep, not brings an awakening to you. See, their language is backwards. Their ways are crooked. And their terms are designed so that you can't really know what they really are. Think about it. Think about what spirit brings darkness. Sophia, Shekinah, hell. Hell is the place of darkness where you can't see anything. And so the spirit of darkness is what's behind Kundalini and yoga, because it seeks to activate the pineal gland, which normally is only activated by lack of sunlight. It's like this third eye in the middle of your brain that detects light coming in through your eyes. And when the lights go down and begin to dim, you start yawning. You start getting a sleepy eye. Why? Because your body, your brain is putting out this chemical that makes you want to go to sleep. They've got it completely backwards, people. Now, back to Proverbs. Now let's look at the other woman. She is not wisdom. She's not knowledge. She's not understanding. She's foolishness. She's ignorance. She is stupidity. The complete opposite of wisdom. The words of the wise woman, wisdom, the Bible, a good, decent church, are meant to deliver you from the strange woman, that other spirit, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And we talked about this last week before last. Her spirit will always tell you what you want to hear. So again, think about it. A church that will preach the truth is a church that in today's world is going to be unpopular and unpopulated. Why? Because people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what's right. They want to hear lies. They want to hear flattery. But they don't want to hear the truth. So the strange woman will be the spirit that's in the church that will tell you everything that you want to hear, will tell you how good you are. It will tell you how rich you can be. It can tell you, it will tell you how healthy you will be. It'll tell you everything, but it will not preach against sin, and specifically will not preach against your sin. It will lie to you. It will cover up for you, because that's what harlots do. Harlot's not going to go running to the police and telling the police who you are. Why? Because they benefit just like you do. She's going to cover up all your dirty little secrets. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant. There it is right there. They're going to make you forget the covenant of God, the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth, incline. You know what that is? It goes down, not up. Her house, think of heaven. Heaven is a house. In my Father's house are many mansions. Hell is a house. Characterized as a house. Her house and some churches. We call church the house of God. That's a biblical term. There is also the house of Baal. In Washington, D.C., the house of the Temple Lodge in Washington, D.C., the Masonic Lodge. Her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. Welcome to the Hotel California. Okay. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. What are the paths of life? It's right here. The Word of God is the paths of life. Okay. Her spirit is never going to draw you to the Bible. It's always going to draw you away from the Bible. I'm going to get meddlesome here, okay? A lot of you know that here not too long ago, I did a video on the Mandela effect. Crazy. Nonsense. For those of you who have not seen it, it's called Mandela Effect Madness, and that's exactly what it is. The Mandela Effect says that the government has this technology. The government. Everybody blames everything on the government. The government has this technology. This technology is allowing people to go into the past and change words that are in the Bible. And so now all of the King James Bibles have mistakes in them. All of them do. nonsense. Somebody sent me an email today. I was able to go through some of the emails, not all of them. If you sent me emails last week while I was at camp, I didn't read your emails while I was at camp. But I was able to go through some of them. And somebody sent me one. They said, Pastor, you got to watch this. I watched it for about 10, 15 minutes. I couldn't take it anymore. It's a guy's show like I'm doing now. And he has this guy on that he said, I've got proof. I've got absolute proof. I've got King James Bibles. I've got one that's like 120 years old, and I've got one that's 20 years old, and I can tell you that the government went back and messed with all the Bibles because, you know, the Bible said that, you know, the lion shall lay down with the lamb. Excuse me. The Bible never said that. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Well, how come it says that? The Bible never said that. Never said it. It says wolf, and it always said wolf. I've known it as wolf for most of my life because I had heard the lion shall, and I went looking for it. I'm not talking about recently. I'm talking about a long time ago. And it's always said the wolf shall lay down with the lamb. And, of course, the guy on the internet radio show said, what the blank? I'm not kidding you. And at that point, I'm going, okay, I know who I'm dealing with. But this whole Mandela thing was designed. I don't know who came up with this crazy ignorance. Do you know how I know that nobody has gone back in time and erased things out of the King James Bible? Do you know how I know that? Because the Word of God is incorruptible, meaning that it doesn't matter how many people that the government sent back in a time machine at CERN to go back in time and erase things out of the Bible, doesn't matter how many people did it, the real true Word of God cannot be altered or changed or corrupted. And I want you to think about this. If what these people are saying is true, if what they say is true, that people have gone back and altered the text of the King James Bible so that now we don't have the words that we used to have anymore, what that means is there is no place in the world that we can count on to be 100% reliable. No place. To me, because I know how wicked human beings are because I'm one of them. To me, all of the internet bloggers and YouTube video people who put out YouTube videos saying that the King James Bible is wrong, they're doing so because they have a spirit. And it's a spirit that doesn't want you to be drawn to the Word of God, the covenant of her God, the paths of life. They want you to be drawn away from it so that the only people that you trust is them. See, I tell you, and I tell you all day long, if you get tired of me, quit listening to me, get your Bible out, and read the thing. You'll get more. Listen, trust me on this. You will get more from God from just your Bible than you ever will from me. So if you really think that it's time, then shut off Pastor Mike. And you just devote your time and your energy to reading and studying and knowing your Bible. Okay? I'm not offended by that. It doesn't make me lose sleep that I don't have you as a watcher anymore. I mean, I love you. But if I can do anything with my life, that will be to get you to open your Bible up and read it, and that God would give you understanding from it. Any spirit that would try to convince you that there's something wrong with the King James Bible, that is her harlot spirit. And the people who made that and all these other YouTube videos about the Mandela effect, that there's mistakes in all the King, that all the King James Bibles in, and God, and see what he said, this is what got me. The guy said, I've got a 120-year-old Bible and I got a 20-year-old Bible. And he said, I can tell you there's differences. And what I wanted to, what I was yelling at my computer monitor was, let's see them. Let's see them. Let's see you show me the differences. Let's see you show me where somebody went back in time and altered one Bible but didn't alter the other. Bunch of turkeys. I'm telling you, people, the devil will stop at nothing, and Mystery Babylon Spirit will try every day to convince you that you have mistakes in your Bible. Don't trust it. Trust the imp. Trust the YouTube people. Trust the internet bloggers. Trust the big preachers. But don't trust the Bible. And that goes for all the preachers out there that are changing it with Hebrew and Greek stuff, telling you that the King James is all wrong. We don't use the King James anymore. Why would anybody want to use the King James anymore? We have these new, better translations. That's her, people. That's her. See, she forgot the covenant of her God. And instead of giving you the good and straight words out of the Word of God, she flatters you with her words. The crooked path. The Sephiroth. Sephiroth is... Do you see a serpent here, by the way? A coiled up serpent in that Sephiroth? There he is, right there. The labyrinth is a crooked path. Churches doing prayer labyrinths. Churches building labyrinths out in the backyard for people to walk so they can find this inner thing through this crooked path. What is a labyrinth? A labyrinth is a meandering path, often unicursal, with a singular path leading to the center. Labyrinths are an ancient archetype dating back 4,000 years or more, used symbolically as a walking meditation. Or, in other words, it's like a form of prayer. But it's a crooked path. Labyrinths are tools for personal, psychological, and spiritual transformation. Think about that word right there. Also thought to enhance right brain activity. You know what right brain activity is? Right brain activity is the creative, imaginative part of your brain. The right side of your brain does not deal in concrete, substantive ideas. It deals in abstract. It deals in things that don't really exist. It deals in make-believe and fairy tales. That's what the right brain is. Art and poetry, especially poetry that doesn't make any sense, like rock and roll lyrics or whatever. That's where that comes from. Comes from the right brain. That's what that's talking about. Labyrinths evoke metaphor, sacred geometry, spiritual pilgrimage, religious practice, mindfulness, environmental art, community building. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Here's the interesting thing about labyrinths. The original concept of a labyrinth comes from Greek and is it Greek or Roman? Probably Greek. Mythology. That there is imprisoned in the center of a labyrinth a beast man called the Minotaur. The Minotaur is the offspring of a woman who mated with a beast, the horned god, Cernunnos. who is imprisoned at the center of the earth, and who and those who travel there can gain his release. The whole point of walking a labyrinth, which is a downward spiral to hell, is what it is. The whole point of going there is to get to the center, because it's at the divine center, they call it. The center point, or the cross point. It's at the center point that you find the inner divine in you, the God in you. And it's this idea that everybody's got a God on the inside of them. Well, I would say what the Bible says, everybody has in them no good thing. That's Romans 7. And they say that to go to walk the meandering, crooked path of the labyrinth to go to the divine center means to release that which is imprisoned there. You know, sort of like how Joyce Myers and Kenneth Copeland and all these guys, they're always talking about how they want you to release something. Oh, you need to release this. Your faith, and here's what they say, your faith releases God to work miracles in your life. Releases God? Because their version of God, their God, is a God who's bound up in a prison like Minotaur is. Half human, half beast. Think about it. 666. That's who their God is, the one that has to be released. My God? No, he doesn't. He's already free. And I don't need to make God free in order to work in my life. God's been working in my life a lot of times with me kicking and screaming all the way, but God's been working in my life. He doesn't need me to set him free and release him. That's that other spirit, people. Proverbs 22:14. Oh, by the way, concerning the labyrinth, Proverbs 4:27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Okay? You want to understand God's word? It's on the straight and narrow road. All right? Not to the right hand, to the left, like a prayer labyrinth. Proverbs 22:14, the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Proverbs 23:27, for a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. Think about it. And there's things that I'm even thinking about right now that I'm trying to work on, and I don't have it all together yet. But where does the beast come from? In Revelation 9, a star falls from heaven, has a key to what? The bottomless pit. There's something about the mouth of Mystery Babylon, the mouth of a strange woman, that releases what's inside or what's down in the pit. Okay? Don't have it all figured out yet, but just that gives you something to think about. Now, back to wisdom. Proverbs 3. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. There it is again. He's equating it with silver. And the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now, let me stop right here. Okay? And again, I make this analogy of, number one, heaven. Number two, a good Bible teaching, Bible preaching, Bible believing church. People will say and have said, and I'm very thankful for this, people have said concerning our church, Bethel Church, Pastor, we are glad that we found you and your church. And you see, I don't have a problem with that, because I know that as far as I'm concerned and as far as the people of this church concerned, I think we have a pretty good, healthy attitude concerning when people say, Pastor, we are glad we found your church. I know the people of our church would say, hey, all the praise and the credit goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, one of the things that I know about the virtuous woman is that she always does the right thing in giving praise and adoration to her husband and not keeping it on herself. Now think about it. A harlot wife, and you may know women like this. You may know women who are all about making themselves look good while they make their husband look stupid, right? You probably... No, you wouldn't be one of those women, would you? That's always downing your husband to everybody. That's always making fun of your husband. Always putting your husband down in front of everybody, including your children. You wouldn't be that woman, would you? Because if you are, then you're hell. You're the harlot. You're the strange woman. Always having the glory and having everybody's eyes on you while you tear your husband down in front of everybody. Think about it, ladies. See, a true, godly, righteous woman will draw attention to her husband and not herself. A true, godly, righteous woman, when everybody's looking at her, she'll say, my husband, he's the reason why I am what I am today. And think about it as a church. A truly godly church will never, ever, ever draw the attention to herself. She'll not be overly worried about all of the adornment and how her church can be full of eye candy so that everybody looks at the church and doesn't think much about that church's husband. Churches that are all about their programs, and churches that are all about who's on the staff, and churches that are all about how big their building is, and how the numbers look on the financial sheet. Meanwhile, they destroy the very word of their husband. Are you catching that? You see, a good church will always, even if someone says, man, I like that church will say, it's because of our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. We can't take the credit for it. You like what's going on here? You like what's happening here? That's because our husband has adorned us this way. Read Ezekiel 16. In Ezekiel chapter 16, God adorned Jerusalem. He gave her the nice necklace to wear, gave her a jewel to wear about her head, gave her earrings, gave her a nice pretty dress. You know what she did with that? She went out and played the harlot with every nation that came by her. She took that which God gave her and used it to draw her lovers to herself. That's a harlot. That's a harlot person. That's a harlot wife. That's a harlot church. Whereas you have a church, may only have 30 or 50 people in it. And yet those 30 or 50 people love the Lord. And they love the old Bible. And they love the sound Bible preaching they're getting. Because they love the Word of God. And it's not, to them, it's not all about the big show and the flashy light shows and the music. Oh, the music's got to be great and all that stuff. It's not all about that. The most important part of it is not about the eye candy or the ear candy. The most important part is the gospel that's being preached and what God is doing in each one of their lives. And when people go to that church, they just feel like they're among family and they feel like they can be themselves there. Because that church gives the praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days, oh, I love this, I love this. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Now I can't wait to show you this. This is going to be good. You're going to love this. Length of days, you know what that means? Eternal life. Eternal life is that which comes down to us from heaven. Eternal life is that what a good church will preach and teach, how to have eternal life. Eternal life is what you as an individual will try to convey to family members and to friends. Not this nonsense about how you can have all your diseases healed and how you can have a lot of money and how you need to come to our church and they'll teach you how to be successful in life, how you can have your best life now. That's a harlot church. A church that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation, giving people length of days. That's a good church. Okay? You're a good person. You're a good woman. Because length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. See, I'm liking this. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Oh, by the way, I got to show you this. She is a tree of life. Now, here's my Bible. The paper of which was made from trees. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Anyway, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. In other words, I found a good church. And I'm not going to leave it no matter what. And I know the people aren't perfect. And I know sometimes it seems like we kind of have our little disagreements every now and then. But I found a good church and I'm not leaving it. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the what? The heavens. There's your clue right there. Referring to heaven. Now, length of days is her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Again, I'm going to show you an illustration of the Word of God. Riches and honor. Because in the Old Testament, which is on the left hand of your Bible, there were these promises of wealth and prosperity by keeping the laws of God. Psalm chapter 1 said, let's see, what's Psalm chapter 1? I drew a blank. That Psalm chapter 1 is my favorite psalm, and I've just about got the whole thing memorized, except for when I need it. Let's see here. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what I was trying to think of. That's the Old Testament. Length of days is eternal life at the right hand of your Bible in the New Testament. That's her. Okay? Let me show you this. Oh! I love this. Did you know that the word wise is found in the book of Proverbs exactly 66 times? The word wise. All the forms of the word know, like know, knoweth, knowledge, 66 times in the King James Version, book of Proverbs. All the forms of the word understand, 66 times in the King James Version of the book of Proverbs. Boy, somebody get happy about that. Woo! I just like that. And by the way, talking about heaven and light, remember the menorah? In the tabernacle, having 66 decorations on it, 3 and 3 and 3 on the outward pipes, 3, 3, 3 and 3, 4 sets of 3 in the middle one. If you count them all up, add them all together, you get 66. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, according to the book of Proverbs, are all going to come from the 66 books of the King James Bible. You see, let me make this illustration for you, okay? Let me do this. I have in my hand a Bible. It's one of those parallel Bibles. It's got the King James and the NIV. Now, something you understand about the good woman, wisdom, is that she never changes. She's always the same. Doesn't matter what everybody thinks about her. Doesn't matter how public opinion is. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what trends are going on in society. Doesn't matter what polls are taken and how people feel. Wisdom and knowledge, and especially knowledge, facts don't change. I mean, I just showed you that the word wise is found in the book of Proverbs, King James Version, 66 times. That's a fact. Did you know the Mandela effect cannot alter that? The devil himself can't even change that. It's a fact. All the forms of the word know, 66 times. All the forms of the word understand, 66 times. Those are facts. They don't change. Facts, real facts. Now, government facts change based upon what political party's in power or wants to be in power. But real truth doesn't ever change. Do you know the harlot woman, lest thou consider the paths of lies, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them, is what it says. So here I have the King James Version. It's been the same since 1611, and that's a fact. And then I have the NIV, which has changed since its first appearance in 1973. So much so that we looked at Isaiah, where it says, hell hath enlarged herself. And the gender-neutral NIV version that's out now, different than the one that came out in 73, says something about death and itself. Because the NIV is like all of the other translations of the Bible. They're based upon a Greek text that keeps changing every so many years. The Nestle-Aland Greek text. Now when it's, 26th edition, 27th edition, something like that, which means that from the first edition to the edition that's out now, they've made changes to it. So many changes, in fact, that they had to issue, instead of just reprinting the former edition, they had to issue a brand new edition of it and print that, because the Greek text that they first came out with, they've now decided is not what God said. And it becomes a never-ending guessing game at what God really said. So when these preachers are all telling you that they like the newer translations because they're based upon better Greek texts, well, were they better when they first came out, or are they better now? Because there's been 27 editions of it. That spirit in that Bible is the spirit whose ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Her paths, my friend, are crooked. They're always, for a while, they're kind of like American politics. For a while, American politics goes to the right. And then for a while, American politics goes to the left. See, we've spent 8 years under Obama going to the left. Now we're Trump. Now we're going to the right. Don't worry, you liberal Democrats. It'll switch back to the left again. And so America's ways, America has a spirit over her that keeps constantly shifting back and forth, back and forth. That's how you recognize these spirits. And we know people that are like this. We know people that are like this. And churches that are like this. Churches. Whereas 20 years ago, churches that were adamant in their stand against homosexuality, sodomy. Now those same churches openly accepting of gay marriage, openly accepting of Bibles that have been neutered, taking the masculinity away from it. Whereas churches years ago that preached against sodomy, and today they still preach against sodomy. People who at one time believed that sodomy and gay marriage was a terrible thing, today they still think that way. Why? Because their mind, their thoughts, their heart is in agreement with a spirit that does not change and will not change, based upon the 66 books of the Bible. Let's go to this. Proverbs chapter 4. Actually, that's not where I want to be. I want to go to, that would be good, right here. No, that's not it either. Yeah. Tell you what, I want to go to Proverbs, I think it's 7. Proverbs 7. I thought I had it in my notes, but I don't. I didn't get that far with it. Is it Proverbs 7? Ah, yes, it is. Proverbs 7. Turn there. I'm going to read a little bit of this, and then we'll conclude for today. And you pray for me. My back is hurting bad today. If I seem like I'm a little distracted today, I am. Okay? My heating pad's working overtime. It's making me hot, and I'm half hot, half cold in my physical body, and my back is just, I'm just giving me a lot of pain today, so pray for me. In Proverbs chapter 7, herein lies the danger of this strange woman. My son, keep my words and lay out my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. And I had that in my notes. Do you know who Abraham married? He married his sister. Okay? Apparently that wasn't near as disgusting and gross as it is now. You know who Isaac married? A near kinswoman. Do you know who Jacob married? His near kinswoman. You have three types there. And where did the 12 tribes come from? Came from the three men who married a sister and near kinswomen. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there you have the typology of call wisdom thy sister. Let me read that again. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. And this is where the 12 tribes came from. I love this. Anyway, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. You see, if he would have had a sister named Wisdom, he would have never been on this side of the town. Anyway, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passed through the street near her corner, and went the way to her house. Why did he go that way? Well, he knew she would be there. They arrested St. Louis Police, Metropolitan, St. Louis County. They all worked together. They had a prostitution sting, I think, over the weekend. And they end up nabbing about 14 guys. And, of course, the local news stations, one of the local news stations on their app, they listed every one of these guys' names, what city they were from, what street they lived on, although not giving their street address, and their mugshot. Okay? Every one of these guys was looking for it. Okay? And they knew right where to go. And now some of these guys have got explaining to do. Can you imagine being the wife of one of these men whose name, address, and picture shows up on the news because they got caught trying to give money to a prostitute? Guys, be sure your sin will find you out. Okay? Anyway, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Think about what we just said. Think about what we've been talking about. Hell Hell is dark. It's the place of outer darkness. It's a place of no light whatsoever. Heaven is a place of light. Where is she in this story? Where is she? In the dark. In the night. That's what spirit she is. She hides. She keeps secrets. She represents things that are done hidden in darkness so that no one finds out about it. That's what spirit she is, and that's what spirit everybody is who's involved in covering things up. Now I know there's some things that are private. I get that. And I know that we don't go around telling everybody all of our deep, dark secrets and telling everybody, you know, exactly what we did all the time. But you at least tell God. Let God take the thing away and make it right. Not her. Don't make lies your refuge, people. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Now, the Bible doesn't tell you exactly what clothing she was wearing, defining the attire of a harlot. You see, I may not be able to define the attire of a harlot, but I know it when I see it. Right? She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Ladies and gentlemen, please, listen to the words of God. God is trying to save your life. God is trying to save your house. God is trying to, with wisdom and knowledge and understanding that comes from the Word of God, or maybe from good Christian friends, God is trying to save your house. Maybe save your life. Maybe save your eternal life. God is trying to do that. So, as the music plays, make sure that real wisdom, real knowledge, real understanding, which can only come from one source, and that is the Word of God, your Bible. Make the Bible like your sister, near kinswoman. Make the Bible an everyday part of your life. Because she, that other woman, foolishness, hell itself, death, she's out there on every corner. And that's not just the street corners either. That's all the internet corners. She's out there, people. She's everywhere. You don't want to believe the Mandela, you don't want to fall for the Mandela madness, do you? Then just believe what the Word of God says. You don't want to fall for all the other lies that are out there, do you? The Hebrew roots, all this other stuff out there. Then get in your Bible and listen to her. Listen to what the Word of God. And again, don't take me wrong. Don't think I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit's a woman, because that is not what the Bible says. But it's Jerusalem. It is a good Bible-believing church. It's a good Christian that you know. It's your Bible. Every day, read it. All right? Hey, it's good to be with you today. God bless you. I love you. You're the reason why we do what we do. Pray for us here. Support us if you can. Pray for me. I'm going to see what can be done. I'm still trying to find out what to do about pain issues I have, my back, and so on. So please keep me in your prayers, all right? Hey, you know what you can do? You can think Bible.